CJLO 1690 AM. This is just me quickly coming on here to tell you that you've been listening to an interview with Castle Rat that I did down at RPM Fest down in Montague, Massachusetts. It was really fun. I mean, really fun. I can't talk too long. I want you to hear the second part of this interview with Castle Rat, who will be here this week with Green Lung. Don't miss it. I think it's Lestrau. I'm pretty sure. I'm not Google. You look it up. You look it up. Here's part two of the interview with Castle Rat. Keep it locked. CJLO, 1690 AM.
Into the Realm, latest record. You were put in an abandoned church in Philly.
Yes.
Do you think that affected the record itself? Because obviously you had the songs before you went in. But did it change how you composed the songs or like recorded them or how you felt about them?
I think it affected the performance, definitely. The songs are really tight. Everything across the years leading up to it, you know, all the arrangements and everything were settled. But the performance, I know Josh, our drummer, the Groovage, has spoken to how this performance was influenced by trying to, like, fill that space. The inside is gorgeous. The most inspiring space I've ever stepped into. I'm not religious, so I don't have any, like, religious trauma. When I step into a church, I'm just like, oh, this is pretty.
There's a difference between not religious and never religious.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you got to never religious so you didn't have to go through that.
So I know definitely for me, we did like sort of a thrilling vocal day. I cut all of the vocals in like 9 hours in one day. We tracked the whole record in 2.5 days. And in particular, the ballad Cry for Me, I felt, okay, the church is definitely haunted. And I felt like the spirits around me. Like, I felt like it was weird. It was like twilight. And I felt like a veil between like this reality and whatever one that we don't know about was real thin. And yeah, not possessed, but I don't want it to sound like I got possessed by a demon. Maybe I did.
Maybe.
I'm not a demon because I'm chilling, but. Yeah, no, there's something that there's like a particularly moving performance that, from what I heard reported back to me, like everyone in the control room like stopped what they were doing and they're like, whoa. And yeah, something there's just, I don't know, I'm not doing
energy
that.
Like a
yeah, like a really unique energy where I just felt like locked in a particular way that I never felt. It might have just been like delirium for hours and jingles with like no break.
Yeah. Let's go with that for lore purposes. We'll do that.
Yeah.
I've been super interested. I've been interviewing a lot of, like, art punk bands who are doing, like, well, concept-y type of things.
Yeah.
I'm interested kind of what your view is because obviously bands make art. They make music, and that is art. They perform shows. The concert itself is an art. Do you view the band itself as its own separate art piece apart from your music and shows?
Yes, I do view it separately. I like kind of touched on that earlier when I was like, I want the music to stand alone as like its own thing. And then the lore and the costumes and the characters are a separate thing. I grew up with like a background in visual arts. My mom's amazing painter and my dad's like insanely gifted guitarist. So Castle Rat really feels like a marriage to those two things, which is good because they had gotten a divorce. So Castle Rat is a good way to get my parents back together in my mind. I view it as like two separate things. And both are, the music side is a lot more personal. And the visual arts side is really satisfying. It's great to be able to, like, if I'm feeling stuck musically, I can, like, dive into the visual arts side and, like, say, paint a giant rat on a banner and make a new flag or, like, update the costume or, like, I've just, like, always been super hands-on about making all the props and costumes and things like that. And people, as it's grown, I've had people step in and help. Cameron Findlay has helped us with a bunch of props. He has like this amazing studio space that he like very generously let me hop in and start using stuff and like update everything. And he helped me figure out how to do this because he's like a professional prop build set builder guy for the season. And Franco, our guitarist, his wife has started making like some of his costume that she like sews and stuff at home.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's really cool to like kind of step back a little and like let some other hands in, like take it one step further because it's a lot to do.
Yes, I mean, it looks like there's a lot of moving parts that you have. By the time people hear this, it's going to be right before you're playing in Montreal with Greenlaw.
Yes.
Which is very exciting because, like, I think that's, like, a perfect pairing. The only wet pairing I can think of that would be better, and someone said it to me today, was if you played with Faytooth, which would be, Jesus, that'd be amazing.
Very amazing.
How did this kind of come about with Greenlaw? Did they reach out to you? Did...
Yeah.
Yes.
They reached out to us. I just got an email for them from their booker, and they were like, hey, if you want to do direct support on this tour, and we're like, hell yeah!
yes, please, thank you.
Please, thank you. So it was that easy.
See, bands, that's all you have to do is just
sit and wait.
We have people write to you.
You don't have to do any work.
So do you have anything like special for this tour that you're going or that you are going to kind of break out on the tour, like new tracks, or are you going to have special like unique tour merch that isn't like a shirty thing or something?
Shirty thing. Spoilers. Yeah. We are writing our second album currently. So we are going to take a couple new songs for a spin and kind of road test them. Let them stretch their legs, get their feet under them, so that when we go into the studio, everything's really tight and, like, lived in, and has, like, earned its own life. So I think we're going to rotate sets, where we'll have pretty much the same set and have, like, one slot in the set where we'll try a different new song. Maybe not each night. We might, like, go back and forth between two songs across the session.
As a band, because most of the bands I talk to have seemed to have dropped the idea of playing songs live before they record them.
Really?
Well, the reason that I get is, well, we don't want to basically have something that we don't like and play it so that someone records it, so that they put it up online and then everyone sees it and that's what they expect versus, you know, us perfecting what we want. So. Is that something that has, I guess that hasn't crossed your mind at all? I'm sorry if I've implanted this idea.
There's no such thing as bad press. Everyone's like, whoa, check out this song, it really sucks. And then we get like a million views.
That's true.
We're like, well, the rest of it's pretty good. Yeah. That one's, you know.
It got a lot worse, but that one, the first one I heard, it was so good.
No, I think it's good. I really like playing new songs out, and I think I stand by my plan.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's important.
I think you should.
It's like to also witness in real time how an audience is responding to something new. It's really informative, and I'd rather have that like data entry before we record an album and like set it to tape and can't change it. So
plus, I guess there's an extra element for you too, because the fact that, you know, this is part of like a larger, not necessarily overarching story, but at least a world of lore that's set there. So like you have that to like try out and see like where it fits best in like a set, which then would reflect where it sits best in an album.
Definitely, like energetically between speeches and everything. My long game plan, just so everyone knows, is with the second album to possibly introduce like a variation on the live show.
Okay.
Like maybe we go deeper into the lore. Maybe there's like a hybrid thing where it's like parts of the old show because we're a newer band. So
yeah.
Like the whole world hasn't seen the show that we're putting on now. So we're just playing the same set over and over and have the same, we'll probably keep the same format. Like the battle is sick. There's thoughts about possibly changing our arch nemesis, the Rat Reavers, since death can take many forms. Maybe visually there will be a change there.
That's interesting, kinda, yeah.
I'm waiting for the second album to kind of, for it to reveal itself to me, what exactly it's going to represent. There is like a thematic line with the songs, Caskrat's sort of like a do it and then figure it out thing the whole time. So I'm just writing the songs as they come, and collaborating with the band, which is a new thing. I've never written with the guys. It's always been like a very private thing, and I've been dipping my toe into like, all right, here's like 75% of the song. I don't know what to put here, and then Rob will be like, how about this? And I'm like, oh, it's great, you're great.
Has that been easy to kind of like give up that control?
No, I love them. This has been really hard. But I see the value in it, and I will continue doing that.
Let me ask you two more questions.
Okay.
So, obviously, Castle Rat, theatrical band. You have some lore behind it. You've got costumes going on. You have a great throwbacky sound. What's the worst musical instrument?
Saxophone.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Maybe. I am also emotionally scarred by the banjo.
Emotionally scarred by the... That's an interesting turn of phrase. Okay. So you didn't get trauma, religious trauma, but you have banjo trauma.
Sure. That's really funny. Yeah, it's a tie. I feel like there's another one I can't think of it right now. But yeah, saxophone. I suppose a kid, I don't know.
I mean, fair enough. Like, we all have instruments that are grating.
But yeah, the banjo has baggage. And they're okay. There are like, there's context for saxophone.
Okay.
But it's okay. I'm not like 100% anti-saxophone all the time, but you want to clarify that. It's just like most of the time.
Like 80%.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Banjo is gnarly. Yeah, I gotta go to therapy for that one.
Well, hopefully you'll get it, and we'll see a banjo on Castle Rat record number 4 or 5.
Maybe a lute. I'll compromise.
Ooh,
the lute. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, yeah. Last question for you. You're going to do this tour with Green Lung.
Yeah.
You're writing you're in the process of formulating a new album, let's go with. What's kind of the Castle Rat plan coming up here till like 2025, into early 2025, I guess, aside from that?
Mostly, yeah, so we've got the tour with Green Lung. We're going to hop down to Asheville, North Carolina, at the end of October for Heavy Mountain Fest.
Okay.
Like a Halloween time.
Spooky time, right, yeah.
And then November, we'll be on the West Coast with Early Moods. For like 10 days, starting that with Freakout Fest in Seattle. And then I'm not sure about New York City show. Would like to have some sort of local show before the end of the year. I think would be really nice. There's no solid plans for that. And then we're just focusing like crazy on writing and just figuring out the album. Tracking in January, I believe, upstate New York. And then I know that there's stuff in the works for spring of 2025 that might involve us crossing the pond.
Oh.
I can't say much more than
that. No, of course. Everything's always under lock and key.
Yeah.
Until it's out.